to worship, and happy Easter.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Please stand. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to those of you watching this at home. We have made it now to the final Sunday of the Easter season. The seventh Sunday of Easter is kind of interesting because we're still celebrating the resurrection of Christ. But now we have made it past the 40th day of Easter, which happened this past Thursday. And on the 40th day of Easter, the church celebrates what we were just singing about, the ascension of Jesus up into heaven. And so our readings are going to focus on the things that were going on in those days after Jesus had ascended to heaven, but yet before the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost, which we will be celebrating next Sunday. We will be following Divine Service Setting 1 for our liturgy today, and that can be found in your hymnal starting on page 151. But today we are going to begin with a special recognition of the Ascension, and so our service will begin with a reading from Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and this is not printed for you in your bulletin, so if you'd like to follow along with your pew Bibles, the book of Acts begins on page 909. The Ascension of our Lord from Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now I'd like to invite our acolyte to come and extinguish the Paschal candle. Congregation may please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are, by nature, sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to the introit, printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord, he is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing of steadfast love and justice.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The first reading appointed for the seventh Sunday of Easter is a continuation of the Acts passage, which we just heard. So this will be Acts chapter 1, continuing now with verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it. And let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We turn now to the gradual printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. The epistle reading today comes from St. Peter's first letter, chapters 4 and 5, beginning with chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia in verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, and to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith, along with millions of Christians around the world. And today we will do so using the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Congregation may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite all of our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. Okay, that was all right. You guys don't sound too excited. I thought maybe you'd be a little bit more energized this morning because for a lot of you, school is out for summer, right? Is that exciting? Does anybody still have some school left to go? Is everybody done? Everybody's done, huh? Okay, so you gonna do anything fun this summer? Got anything fun planned? Anything exciting, Winnie? Going swimming, that sounds fun. Bree? Your birthday, that's awesome. What else? Anybody, shout it out. Navy, what's going on? Doritos? Yeah. There she goes. I scared her away. Okay, sorry, Navy. Hey, so anybody a Cardinals fan? Anybody going to Cardinals games this summer? Yeah? Okay, so did anybody watch last night's game against the Dodgers? Did you stay up late watching the game at all? No? Anybody know what happened? So I actually got to go to the game last night, and it was awesome. It was a perfect weather night. And the Cardinals won the game, which makes it even better. We brought home a winner, right? So I wanted to show you something cool that I got at the Cardinals game last night. This, I think it's cool. You might not think it's that cool. This is called a scorecard. Have you ever seen one of these before? So a scorecard is something that you can use as a fan or maybe even as a coach to pay attention to everything that's going on in a baseball game. Keep track of every little thing that happens. My dad taught me a long time ago how to keep score at a baseball game, and I still do that when I can because it helps me pay attention to what's happening in the game. And I know you probably don't understand all the little things that I wrote down here when I was at Busch Stadium last night, but what you can probably see from where you're sitting is that there's all these colored in diamonds along the way. You can see those, these little colored in diamonds throughout, right? So that happens every time a team scores a run. So this side is the Dodgers side, this side is the Cardinals side, and if you count up all the little diamonds, you can actually see from even where you're sitting what the final score was last night. On this side, how many diamonds can we count? 5 diamonds for the Dodgers. But over here, we have how many? 6 diamonds for the Cardinals, which means the Cardinals won the game 6-5, right? So this is kind of a fun thing that I like to do when I go to a game. But, you know, I don't know if any of you have been paying attention to the Cardinals season this year, but in the first month of the season, in April, the Cardinals were not scoring lots of those little diamonds. And they were losing lots of games. And there were a lot of people around here who were concerned about that because they thought, is the whole season over? They were in last place, not just in their own division. They were last place in the entire National League. It was bad. But lately here, the pitching has gotten better, and they've been scoring more runs. People have been coloring in more of those little diamonds on their scorecards. And so we say it's still early. There's 162 games in a baseball season. So there is still a lot of baseball left to play. And the Cardinals are not in last place anymore, actually. And they're only 5 games out of first place. So there's still a lot of hope for them. Now, this whole service this morning is not really about baseball. But when we heard in our reading from the book of Acts a little while ago, there were 2 guys who were called upon to potentially replace Judas as one of the 12 apostles. One of them won the job. One of them lost. Do you guys remember who became the 12th disciple after Judas? It starts with an M. Do you remember it? It's close. Matthias is his name, right? Matthias. The other guy was named Joseph. He was also named Barsabbas. And he was also known as Justice. He had 3 different names. And we don't really know much about him. The only thing we really know is that he did not get the job of being an apostle. Now, you could look at that and you say, well, poor guy, right? He probably was really sad after that, after he wasn't chosen to be the 12th disciple. Then what's he going to do for the rest of his life? He might as well just pack it all up and go home and forget about doing any work of the ministry, forget talking about Jesus. Does that sound right? No, right? There were still lots of things that he could do with his life in order to spread the gospel, to be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus and tell people all about the good news that we're saved because Christ has died and risen again for all of us, for the whole world, right? So it's just like with the Cardinals, right? There's still some hope, right? Well, with this Joseph Barsabbas Justice guy, there was still a lot that he could do too. And so we give thanks because we have times in our life when, because of our sin, because we have bad days, right? Because somebody says something mean to us, or we're just having a sad day or something like that. Sometimes we feel like we're losing a lot in life. Like we can't win at all. And sometimes we get discouraged by that. We get really sad by that. And we think, what can God do with me? Because I'm just a poor, miserable sinner. But you know what? Because of Jesus, because he died on the cross for you, because he rose from the dead, there is hope for all of us. None of us are losers, because in Christ, we have been given the victory that he earned for us. Isn't that awesome? So we have a lot to celebrate today, and we're going to keep talking about Matthias and Joseph, Barsabbas, Justice. We're going to keep talking about him, but let's close with a word of prayer. If you guys could fold your hands and bow your heads and repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for choosing us to be your witnesses. Thank you for winning us the victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, thank you guys so much. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. And we will continue now with the sermon hymn, number 856, O Christ Who Called the 12. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today comes to us from that Acts chapter 1 reading, the second portion of it, from verses 12 through 26, where we get to hear about what the disciples were up to in those moments between the ascension of Jesus into heaven and then Pentecost, which would be coming later. And we see how the disciples went about replacing Judas Iscariot and how they found these two men who would fit the bill, and they had a really tough decision to make, but ultimately it was the Lord who made the decision for them. One of the takeaways for us is that we know that the Lord has given us many different vocations, different callings throughout our lives that we don't necessarily feel like we are worthy of or capable of doing sometimes, but because our Lord Jesus Christ has died and risen again for us, because of our faith in him, because of the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we are made worthy of those callings and vocations. Thanks be to God. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, growing up in the Northeast gave me some different childhood experiences from maybe what many of you are used to if you had a typical Southern Illinois childhood. I never had the experience of waking up early before school to have to milk cows. I never had to ride in a combine with my dad or my grandpa or anything like that. I was a kid from Connecticut. I was a kid from New England. So what did we do? Well, one of the most New England-y things that we got to do was in the summers, we got to go watch horse races. My family and I would go up to upstate New York. We'd go to a place called Saratoga Springs, and we'd watch the horses race up there. I don't know if you could get a more Connecticut thing than that, but that's what we would do. I kind of had this on my mind this week because I knew that the Preakness Stakes were running yesterday. I don't know if any of you saw it, unless you were too busy watching the Cardinals beat the Dodgers, then probably you missed the Preakness, but that was going on yesterday. And it was just kind of a fun day. Whenever we would have a chance to go up to Saratoga and watch the horses, it's kind of like you'd step back in time into a completely different world. Like you would look around and there'd be all these people and they'd be dressed to the nines, like they were going out to some black tie dinner or something like that. And you'd walk to the racetrack, but like on your way after you would park, on every street corner, you've got people selling newspapers, like newsies on the corner, extra, extra, like they're trying to sell you all these newspapers. It's crazy. There's these men that are going around, they're puffing cigars, and there's funny hats that look like really old, and it's just crazy, but it's a lot of fun. And even if you're not into horse racing even a little bit, and that's okay. I mean, I'm not really anymore either. But within that world, there is the name of a horse, which if you know the story, anytime somebody hears that name, it just kind of brings a smile to their face. And it's the name that I printed into the bulletin for the title of the sermon today. The horse named Zippy Chippy. Back in the 90s, Zippy Chippy was expected to be a legendary racing champion. He was literally bred to be a winner. Like in his bloodline, or I guess the official horse breeding terminology would be his pedigree, right? In his pedigree, he had lots of different famous champion racehorses. Like, if you've ever heard of War Admiral or Man of War, these kinds of horses. And his owner was a guy by the name of Felix Monserrate. So he was well known and well respected as a trainer. And it just seemed like everything was pointing toward a successful future in racing for Zippy Chippy. But as his racing career began, it didn't really go the way that everyone was expecting. He lost and lost and lost and lost and lost and lost. Every single race, he lost. And he got kind of stubborn, too. Like sometimes he would just refuse to even go out of the gate whenever it was time for the race to begin. I know there's this one story about how Zippy Chippy once went up to a spectator and grabbed the hat right off of his head with his mouth. And he was just kind of like in his own world. And like, long story short, it just wasn't working out. It wasn't working out the way that everybody expected. And after 10 whole years of this, losing one race after another, his final racing record was exactly 0 wins and 100 losses. Literally, the worst horse racing record of all time. He's considered the worst racehorse ever. But what was interesting about Zippy Chippy was what happened after they finally retired him. People who knew the story and knew how many races he lost decided that they were going to go and visit him in retirement. And he became sort of like a spectacle, like to the point where he was sort of became beloved, like this beloved loser. And they made all these t-shirts and hats and coffee mugs and all kinds of things. They loved the story of this horse who has apparently now become an inspiration to people, knowing that we can't win every race, and even when we lose all the races, we are still valued, and we are still loved, we are still someone that is worth celebrating, right? That's what Zippy Chippy became. There's even a children's book written about Zippy Chippy. And honestly, that's something that we probably all need to hear every once in a while. The legend of Zippy Chippy, getting into our text, is pretty similar, I would say, to the legend of Joseph, who is called Barsabbas, who is also called Justice. We heard about this man in verse 23 of the reading today. It's the only place we're going to find anything about him. Pretty much the only thing this guy is known for is losing. I mean, biblically speaking, that's all we know about him. That's his official claim to fame. What was going on was you had the 11 apostles. They were back up in the upper room, as Luke tells us here. They had just seen Jesus ascend into heaven. And at this point, they're in this transitional time period between the ascension of Jesus and the day that they were waiting for. Jesus promised that he was going to send a helper, a paraclete, to them. If you remember the sermon from last week, the Holy Spirit was coming on the day of Pentecost. And that's where we are right now, too, when you look at the church calendar, right? So last Thursday, I mentioned, was Ascension Day. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. So we're right in that transitional time now as well. It makes perfect sense for us to take a look at this passage today. So Luke tells us that one of the things that they decided to do, one of the main things they did in that time of transition, was they decided it was finally time to figure out who was going to replace Judas Iscariot. And we might look at that and we say, well, what is the point of that? Like, why was it so necessary for them to find a replacement for Judas? What's wrong with having 11 apostles? Isn't that good enough? Do we really need to have 12? The thing is, we don't really think the way that a first century Jewish person would think. Peter gets up in this passage, and he's sort of become the leader of the group at this point. He's stepping into that role. He gets up and speaks to everybody, and Luke tells us there's already about 120 people assembled at this point. And he reminds everybody that there's actually a prophecy about this, that Judas's office must have another one occupying it, that this is something that was prophesied back in Psalm 109. On top of that, for Jewish people, the number 12 was a really important number, because the number 12 is the number of God's people on earth. So in the days of the Old Testament, you remember, God's people on earth are the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in the days of the New Testament, on the other side of the cross, the 12 apostles are essentially the new 12 patriarchs who take the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring it out to the ends of the earth and make disciples of all nations. So 12 remains a really important number. Leaving the apostles as a group of 11 was never on the table. It always would have felt incomplete. They had to have 12. So what are they going to do about it? Well, they decide to do what any good congregation does. They decide to call a voters' assembly meeting. They put together a call committee, and they decide they're going to extend a call to somebody to go into apostolic ministry. We have a little experience with that kind of thing. Of course, their process was apparently a lot quicker than ours. They're not spending months having meetings and conducting interviews or anything like that. They just figure out what the credentials are going to be. They say, we need to find somebody who has been with us the entire time, like the entire time of Jesus' earthly ministry, going all the way back to John the Baptist baptizing people in the Jordan. So somebody who's been with us all that time, and someone who can be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And with those two things in mind, they come up with two well-qualified candidates, right? We've got Matthias, and we've got Judas, called Barsabbas, who is also called, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also called Justice. And then the best part about this call committee meeting is that they don't even decide to vote. They just simply allow God to figure out who he wants it to be. Imagine if we conducted all of our meetings that way. We just, instead of having votes, we just flip coins and roll dice and just decide, hey, let the Holy Spirit tell us who he wants. We'd probably get a lot more business done in quicker time that way, wouldn't we? I don't know if everybody would be happy with the results, but when it was all said and done, Matthias is the one who's chosen. The lot falls to Matthias. He's chosen to be the 12th apostle, and Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also known as Justice, is now at this point officially an also-ran for all of eternity. And we don't hear from him again for the rest of the New Testament. But that doesn't mean that that's where the legend of Joseph Barsabbas Justice needs to end. There's actually some historical references to him outside of Scripture, some traditions about what happened to him in those latter days. Evidently, if you believe the traditions, this man actually became a leader of the church in a Roman city called Eleutheropolis, which just means the free city. He became a leader in that place and evidently died as a martyr in the year 68 AD. The fact that he has those three names is actually an indication that he would be able to relate to all different kinds of people. You've got the name Joseph, which is a Hebrew name. Barsabbas is Aramaic, but the name Justice is Latin. So he would have had this opportunity to use any sort of social standing he had to bring the truth to all different kinds of people. So, in other words, even though there's a lot that we're not going to ever find out about this man, we're never going to know for sure on this side of heaven, it's just like with Zippy Chippy, that Joseph Barsabbas Justice didn't need to win the job of being the 12th apostle in order for him to matter, in order for him to be considered valuable and loved by the Lord. So this famous loss in Acts chapter 1 is not the end of his story, and when that window of opportunity closes for him, it actually frees him up to do all sorts of other kinds of interesting and exciting ministry in his life. And I think there is a real message in there for all of us too. Deep down, if you really think about it, all of us are really kind of lovable losers too, right? I mean, in the sense, I mean, we don't usually say it in that way, but we confess every single week that we get together in our confession. We say that we are sinful and unclean, that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We know that we fall short. There's really no other way to put it. And truth be told, our record is worse than Zippy Chippy's. And yet, for some crazy reason, our God still keeps putting these opportunities in front of us to continue to do the work of ministry in the world. He keeps entrusting us with these roles and responsibilities that will actually benefit his kingdom on earth. But it's not actually for a crazy reason. It's for a really important reason. It's because of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who makes any of this possible for us. Jesus is the one who willingly made himself a loser. He willingly took on our losing record upon himself. He brought it all the way to the cross so that we wouldn't have to carry it around with us anymore. He died and he rose again so that our losses could be erased for good, so that we could be made worthy of the vocations that we have received from the Lord. And you and I don't know what it would have been like to be considered one of the 12 apostles, to be numbered among the 12, to have all of those kinds of earthly accolades, right? To have churches named after you, to be featured in stained glass windows all over the world, statues being made for you, right? We don't know anything like that. For us, here in good old Hoyleton, Illinois, all these years later, we're more like Joseph Barsabbas Justice, right? We're sort of on the outside looking in. And yet, because we have faith in Jesus Christ, because we have faith in the work that he did, in the promises that he has made us worthy of the work that God has given us to do right here. We each have many different vocations, many different callings, many different hats that we wear, all these opportunities that we have to love our neighbors, to share the gospel, to be Christ-like in our words and our actions. It doesn't have to be anything big or flashy or impressive to have a real difference in this world. By the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, even the smallest gesture done by him through us can have great impact in this world. Look at it this way. If a racehorse who never won a race can be a source of inspiration for people, how much more can a child of God following Christ make a difference by the power of the Holy Spirit? And it's not for our glory, but always for the glory of him who rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God, who one day will gather us all into his winner's circle, along with Joseph Barsabbas Justice, along with Matthias, along with the rest of the 12, along with a ton of other saints that you've never heard of before and you probably never will hear of until the day you die. It's amazing how the Lord brings us together so that we can praise him together, so we all enjoy an equal share of his amazing victory. May God grant it always, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Thank you. invite you to stand. We turn now to the bottom of page 159 and we sing together the offertory. Few updates for us in the prayers today. We are continuing to list Cassie Schnicker for upcoming surgery. Her carpal tunnel surgery was postponed and now it is scheduled for this coming Tuesday. So we'll lift her in prayer. Also, Alan Spenner will be having his knee replaced tomorrow. Where it says the family of Flora Dombacher, that is a personal family friend, especially on Katie's side of the family. She passed away on Wednesday. She's kind of like a bonus grandparent on Katie's side of the family. So please pray for her and for all of them. We go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, ruler of all, protect and defend your church from every attack of the devil who prowls and seeks to devour. When he tempts us, strengthen your people to resist him. When he gains a foothold with false teaching or ungodly living, call us to repentance and holiness. And when he incites enemies against your word and church, preserve your saints in the faith that they may rejoice to share in the sufferings of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, bless the work of our missionaries. Bring forth your harvest from the seeds they sow. Support those who endure all kinds of trials for your name. As they shine the light of the gospel into the darkness, guard them with the sign of your cross. Let them rejoice that in tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, they share in your very sufferings. Bless especially our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and our sister congregation, Messiah Lutheran in Carlisle. Sustain them throughout this time of pastoral vacancy and lead them to the man you have chosen to be their next pastor. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you hold the might of man in your hand and can destroy all things by your mighty power. Bless our nation and all the peoples of the world where war and violence threaten. Bring peace and justice. Where oppression reigns, bring liberty. Watch over those who defend us, especially the men and women of our armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings to us in this life. We rejoice with those who rejoice, especially all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Quinn, Eunice, Karen, Mary Lou, Bradley, Briella, David, Shirley, and Madeline. We also praise your name for the gift of Christian marriage. We ask you to be with all married couples of our congregation, especially those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Roy and Carol Krieger, and Corey and Melissa Engelman. Allow them to continue to grow in love for each other and for you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you have saved us by your grace. We pray for the sick, the distressed, those whose hearts are heavy, those whose lives are burdened, those who mourn, and all who are in any need, especially all who are on our prayer list, including those in care facilities, Thretta, Norman, Bill, Jim, Bessie, and Brian. Continue to lift before you Marla, who is hospitalized. be with Cassie and Alan as they both face surgery this week. We pray that all would go well with the surgery and also with the recovery. Also, others who are recovering from surgery, especially Tim and Gail, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Nelda, Joan, Bobby, Mary, Marvin, Amy, Patrick, Loreen, Seth, Beulah, Carolyn, Wayne, Richard, Bailey, Linda, Sam, Laverne, Samantha, and all those who are facing cancer. Grant them healing according to your will, strength and mercy according to their needs, and the peace that passes understanding. Be with those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Flora Dombacher. Comfort them with the assurance of eternal life, with those we love who have died in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as the first Christians devoted themselves to prayer and worship following Christ's glorious ascension, preserve us in the same until we are raised with all the saints to your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. And the closing hymn is number 650, Holy Spirit Ever Dwelling. Good morning. Thank you, Chime Choir, for being here and enhancing our worship with song. We really appreciate that. A few announcements for you. Tonight is Youth Night, so we invite all of our Club 58 and YPS members to come and join us at 6 o'clock this evening. Next Sunday is graduation, and you have a list in your bulletin of all of our students who will be graduating here. They will be receiving their diplomas during the worship service, and then there will be a special class presentation, which will take place in the Activity Center after worship next Sunday. We are asking all of you, if you have other graduates in your family that you would like recognized, please contact the church office this week, and we will have them in the bulletin. We need to have that information by this coming Friday. Also, happening next Sunday is graduation at Christ Our Rock Lutheran High School. Our men's choir has been asked to sing as a part of that ceremony, and we're very excited for that. The men will be rehearsing this evening at 7 o'clock at Christ Our Rock. So guys, please don't come here. Go to Christ Our Rock for rehearsal tonight at 7. We are still collecting items for the Irvington Food Pantry. Thanks to those of you who have already brought some things in. I noticed there is that basket, that container in the narthex. You can look in your bulletin and see exactly what kinds of items are needed. I'd like to invite Dave Hertling to come forward. He's representing the Gideons. And you can go ahead and just use that microphone right there, sir.
Good morning. I'd like to thank Pastor, the elders, for allowing us again this year to come and speak to you about what's been going on this past year with the Gideons. We have been growing, not by leaps and bounds, but we are faithful to God's call here. And so what's happening is that, you know, in the Ukraine, they've had quite a bit of civil strife and everything, and what's happened is that these people are coming out of Russia, and mostly women and children, because the men are all required to stay and fight for their freedom. And so when these people are, these families are coming out, they are giving them food and toiletries and things like this, but they don't have the word. They said, you're feeding us physically, but we need something spiritually. And they go, well, you know, you've got all these, everybody's got a phone, okay? And so they said, well, you know, don't you have the Bible? You know, we have the Gideon app, a bunch of other Bible apps and stuff here. And they said, but Xi Jinping in China, Putin in Russia have closed down all the Bible apps that are in Russia or in China that they can control. They've even shut down the AirDrop. I don't know if you young kids or anybody knows AirDrop. You know, you AirDrop pictures and stuff. Well, they've even cut that off because people were sending Bible verses and pages of the Bible through that AirDrop, and they didn't even want that done. And so Apple, for whatever reason, they agreed to capitulate to that, as far as that goes. So they, so what they're needing is scripture. And so the Gideons have decided that we're making it our goal for the last couple years here to provide 6 million Bibles, whether these little testaments like this or the full Bibles and stuff here that we put in the hotels, motels, things like this and stuff. A few years ago, when we could get into China, we had a Bible blitz where we had given a number of faithful Gideons had gone over and had distributed these testaments here. And one particular individual, he just a farmer like a lot of us around here and stuff, his name was Farmer Chen, you know, and that's pretty common, you know, like Hunterford here or Caston or anything else here. So he had gotten a Gideon Bible, and it was in Mandarin, you know, so he could read it, understand it. The Gideons put out 190 different translations of the Bible throughout the world. It all goes through International out of Nashville, Tennessee, and we send the particular Bibles with the faithful Gideons that are going to these areas to do these Bible blitzes and stuff here. Well, anyway, Farmer Chen had that Bible, and a little while later, he noticed that his rice field that he was farming and stuff there was always coming up dry. And he would go out there, and he would flood it again and everything, and then the next day it would be dry again. And he couldn't understand what was going on. After 3 days, he figured out that his neighbor was breaking his dam and letting the water flow down to his field that was, there's kind of plateaued and stuff there on a hill. If you know anything about China, it's very hilly and a lot of those places and stuff. So instead of confronting him or anything, Chen just went ahead and irrigated his neighbor's field, and then he would block it off and water his field. Well, this went on for about 3 days, and his neighbor finally, after 3 days, the other people in the village, and they're all pretty much related there and stuff, were saying, what are you doing? And Chen looks at him and says, what do you mean? He says, you've basically shamed me here. You've called me out by your goodness, by doing good to me. And Chen said, here in the Bible, or in this little testament that I have, it says that, Jesus said, that we are to do good to those who hate us, pray for those who persecute us, and be faithful. And he said, usually in the village here, in our religion, we would love our neighbors, but we would hate our enemies. But Jesus said, to love your enemies, do good to them. And so he said, I was just doing what Jesus said here in Matthew 5 here. And so his neighbor looked at him and he said, this is like you're putting hot coals on my head. You have shamed me, and that's a very, very serious accusation and stuff when in their traditions and everything. So Chen ended up giving his forgiveness and stuff. His neighbor wanted to know who more about this Jesus, and so Chen shared his Bible, his testament with him, and over a period of time, the whole village of 80 or 90 people, and they're all pretty much related in those little farm, just like here, we're in a farming area here too, all became Christian. The Christian church in China, even though the Gideons haven't been able to get in there to, put the word out there or anything for the last few years, it's one of the fastest growing countries aside from Iran. Iran is probably the fastest. And there's people that are telling of the visions they're having, where Jesus is actually coming to them and telling them that he is the truth and the savior of the world here. And they want to know who this Jesus is. Why is this vision coming to them? And faithful Gideons and people around the world are trying to get Bibles and get the word into these people's hands and stuff here. The Christian church is the most persecuted church in the last 100 years. It's never been like this, and in the last 10 years, it's getting progressively worse. But Jesus said this was going to happen. He said, they're going to tell you that good can become evil. Evil will be good, considered good. And he said, you're going to have this strife and stuff. But be faithful and keep giving out the word. And so what we want to do today is to remind you that if you want to take out your bulletin, you'll have this little insert in here. And on the inside here, you can make a door offering this morning. If you're not able to do so with your time, talents, or treasures, you can also do it with a high-tech way of with your credit card or anything. You can make a one-time donation. You can make a monthly donation. And all the funds that we raised from the door offerings or anything that you put online and stuff there will be used to buy Bibles. No Gideon gets a travel expense, expense account, or anything like this and stuff. It's 100% of it goes to buying Bibles for the mission of the Christian church here. If that's not something you're technically able to do and stuff, we have an envelope here. You can put a check or cash in it and stuff. It'll go right to the Washington County camp here in Nashville. Leonard's the treasurer, so he'll take care of that, and we'll also get those funds in there for you. If you have ever needed a memory card, you know, like these little cards, we have a Gideon card box back there, and you can, instead of going buying a birthday card, anniversary card, a sympathy card, get well card, they're all back there, and you can, and they're free, doesn't cost you anything, and you can fill it out here for the individual that you want to honor with Bibles, and then here you can put how many Bibles you want, and the Bibles are the full-size Bibles that we put in the hotels, motels. That's where these Bibles are dedicated for and stuff. So you can honor somebody, you know, through a special occasion or through a death in the family or anything, and the word can go on, and still, you know, their thoughts, their memory can go on all in eternity and stuff. And we'll never know until we get on the other side of heaven how much our time, talents, and treasures have benefit. You know, I think we'll just be blown away by the number of people that we've inspired and converted to Christianity and the faith and love of Jesus Christ here. We have a Gideon meeting every fourth Monday every month at Little Nashville. It's at 6:30. We will we'll pay for your dinner, or I'll pay for your dinner and stuff if you care to come and stuff. And you know, for anybody that's interested in becoming a Gideon or a friend of the Gideons, we have a little information here and stuff that you don't have to actually join to be the Gideon, be a Gideon or attend meetings or anything, but we will let you know what's going on in the Washington County camp. As far as Bible distributions, the biggest one we do right now is in Oakville at the Wheat Festival. We need lots of people because we give out over 1,000 Bibles in basically one afternoon. We need lots of help for that. If you just want to be a friend of the Gideons, we'll let you know when those distributions are at different colleges down in Carbondale, Edwardsville. We've got one at Eckert's Farm in Fairview Heights here, Belleville, and some in St. Louis. If you care to attend those or anything, you can. You don't have to show up for a meeting or anything like that and stuff. Any of the ladies that want to be auxiliary, they are also invited to come to the meetings or anything, or to help with distributions. The ladies usually, the little blue ones here, light blue ones here, we give out to the doctors, nurses, dentist office, things like that around the area and stuff. So that's about all I have right now. So if, you know, there's anything else that you have a question or anything, we'll be happy to answer it or anything. So if there's nothing else, we thank you for your time and God bless.
Thanks, Dave. And thankful for the work of the Gideons, getting the Word of God into people's hands. Appreciate that. Are there any other announcements today? Okay, not. Go enjoy this wonderful day. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.